Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. No time for talk. Wait, that's not true, because this is a podcast. We have about an hour and a bit for talk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Also joining us this week, we have War Crusher. He's back.
War.
How you doing, Todd?
Great. Thank you.
So we have Todd here this week to talk to us about the Xbox One, and we're going to be getting to that later on in the show. But first off, we're going to jump right into what we're playing because, guys, we have been playing a lot. So I'm just going to start things off on a happy, fun, plushy note by showing you guys. Well, I guess you guys can't actually see it because you can't see my video stream, but everyone else can. I got my Zergling Baneling morphing plushy thingy from Blizzard. It's in Baneling form right now and is adorable. By the end of the show, I will transform him into a Zergling. I'm very excited.
It transforms?
It transforms. Oh my God. And he's in Baneling form. He's so cuddly. I just love him.
Aww.
So yes, he will be a Zergling by the end of the show. It's not actually that much work, but I'm trying to actually move the show along and, you know, do that podcasty thing instead of messing around with my plushie, because that's not exactly great radio. So when Ryan goes on one of his tangents, then, I'll go into my plushie.
I'll bring up something about how Nintendo is doomed to be awesome, and then, you can play with your toys.
Exactly.
Which is a funny statement, considering what I just said.
So, some of the stuff that we've actually been playing, that actual Zergling Baneling plushie was one of two fantastic deliveries that came to my home this week. The other one was this.
Oh,
my 3DS. It's all gold and fancy, and apparently I can't do video to show the right way. I was totally just keeps going off screen. Wait, no, over the other way, Jocelyn.
Jealous.
Anyways, yes, I am so super excited. This is like probably the prettiest Zelda thing I have ever owned in my life. It is so cool. I keep the 3D turned completely off because I still think it's a gimmick and it kind of gives me a headache. But
I was going to ask if you tried it at least.
I did try it, and I found that, at least for my eyes with my glasses, I had to get it at just the right spot, and it wasn't comfortable to hold. And even if I turned it like halfway, which is kind of where it was comfortable for my eyes, I still found the 3D was just like, everything looked just that little bit blurry. It was like double vision. Like, the main one was really cool looking and very 3D and everything looked cool, but then just offset a little was this like mirror image of it, and I was just like, off. What about you, Ryan? Have you had problems with that? Because I was actually surprised.
You mentioned, I remember when I first booted it up a few years ago, it was like the first thing they show you when they demo the slider is like the logo just kind of pops out and it hits you, and it's like, oh my God, that's so awesome. I only turn 3D on now, like once in a while, like as if it's a gimmick, because it's like, you know what? I kind of want to experience the 3D a little bit here, and I'll turn it on. And It after a while, does kind of bug my eyes, and I find it doesn't work quite as well with glasses on. You have contacts as well. I wear contacts.
I haven't actually tried it with my contacts. I do normally wear glasses. I wear contacts for the show. I wear contacts for sports, mostly because I'm cheap and I don't want to buy contacts more than like once every 2 years, so I use them very sparingly.
Oh, you have the yearly disposable ones.
Well, I have the bi-weekly disposable ones, but I just keep, one pair that is good for 2 weeks. I just use them for like 2 months because I use them so infrequently.
I hope we don't have any optometrists listening. They're just writing down, like, oh my God, I am so contacting every person in Nova Scotia that does this stuff. I don't know. Try it with your contacts. I find that the glasses may interfere a little bit. And I don't know about you, but I have astigmatism as well, and I find the glasses don't correct for it as much as I'd hoped when I'm playing the 3DS.
I have astigmatism.
Oh, you do?
I do. So maybe that's part of my problem is that I have astigmatism and I just can't get that correct focal length thing going on with the 3D vision.
Yeah. And it's really cool. And the problem with the 3D is that after a while, it's like, that was neat. And then you can turn it off and you get the same experience. I'd be interested, like Animal Crossing, just looking at this list here, I think Legend of Zelda definitely has some cool moments with using 3D, but it's more like, wow, that's cool, but you could do without. But I think with Mario 3D Land, that game benefits from 3D because it helps you determine, you know, where your character is as you're jumping, and it helps with platforming and stuff.
Yeah, which is one thing I was actually a little bit concerned about, but I did pick up the only things I've played so far are a couple of hours of Zelda and a couple of hours of Animal Crossing. I did pick up Mario as well. I was a little bit concerned because of my just general dislike of 3D and the way that 3D has worked for me in the other two titles. Yeah. So I was like, I know that Mario really heavily relies on it, so I was kind of like,
I mean,
don't know.
This isn't a Wiimote scenario where it's like it's the Wiimote or nothing. 3D really is an added bonus when it comes to the Nintendo games on the 3DS. Now, mind you, with Mario 3D, then there are specific levels that say, hey, this would be really easy with 3D, but if you hate 3D as much as the next person, click this button and it'll help you solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, so you have that going for you.
How about you, Todd? Have you actually do you own a 3DS? Have you had any experience with the 3D thing? Is it?
Yeah, I usually turn it off, and I did that kind of early on. I bought one like the you know within a couple weeks of them coming out, and I hardly ever turned it on. Usually, if I get a new game, which I only have like three or four games in the whole time, and a couple downloadable like older titles
converted,
and obviously, on the new stuff, I don't, for me at least, I have multiple issues with my eyes. I have really bad double vision, so I have a huge amount of plastic in my lenses, and everything looks like it's already in a fishbowl if I really think about it. But 3D just jacks everything up, so I don't even like going to 3D movies and stuff like that normally.
Oh, I don't like 3D movies either. I find it just all hard to watch.
So I like it too. I like it in 2D and most things, I usually will try it, but I inevitably will get a headache within about 20 minutes.
Have you had a chance to get your hands on The Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds?
I played it at PAX for a little bit.
Right.
But I have not. I've been like, oh yeah, that's another thing to, you know, after I get through this whole Black Friday mess, then I can start looking at myself for stuff. So
Yeah, fair enough. So yeah, like I mentioned, I've actually played Zelda probably about 2 hours. I got through kind of the beginning quest where you first meet the bad guy and, you know, you get kind of like sent over to the other side of the world. And I mean, I'm really enjoying it because I feel like it really is a throwback to the one Link to the Past, the one that I keep confusing it with. Yeah, it's really, really fun. And I mean, I really enjoyed the fact that, like, I've completely been treating it almost like a little arcade game, like an operation, like, don't touch the side sort of thing, because it was like, you have to go talk to this dude all the way on the other side of the world, and I was like, okay, and I just, like, zigzagged my way, like, all the way through all the bad guys, and didn't actually fight anything. I was just like, boom, at the end, yes!
Wait, why wouldn't you fight anything?
Because I was just trying to get to the other side as fast as possible. Because I really I only had like this teeny tiny little window of time to play. And I was just like, okay, well, if I just run around all the bad guys. And I was actually able to just like dodge everything. And I had some stuff shooting at me and chasing me and stuff. But I was just like, no, Link is now a marathon runner. Go, 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 go.
Now,
Link the pacifist. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, I will not fight. I must solve this issue only using my beautiful eyes. Because he has really good-looking eyes in this game. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did.
Yeah, mainly when, like, the mechanic of... How do you like the mechanic of flattening against the wall and moving?
I haven't done that yet.
Haven't done it yet?
No, I had to run all the way across to a point where I couldn't go any further, and there was, like, a picture of the bow and arrow on the pedestal. And then so I had to run all the way back to the dude that I let use my house. Uh-huh. And then I had to buy the bow and arrow from him, so I bought the bow and arrow, and then I haven't gone any further. So I imagine that that's coming. I've met the bad guy for the first time, and I saw him change the really nice lady into a painting, and I was like, aw, really nice lady.
It's unfortunate that really nice lady had to go so soon, but I mean...
Yeah. Really, all she said is, hi, how are you? I am really nice lady. And then she was a painting.
Oh, God, no, the watercolor.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be better if she was like an oil-based painting, but I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I think that you're going to enjoy the portion when you get past like you know, every Zelda game has their intro quest mm-hmm. where you have, like, to collect the three pendants. Every Zelda game has that. Yep. So you only have one or two pendants at this point?
I don't think I have any pendants. Oh, okay. There are no pendants involved. Right. I got a sword that I had to give back to the guard guy, but then I ran into the church where the sanctuary where the guard guy was supposed to be, and then he wasn't there because he was, like, a painting and stuff. And then that's when Really Nice Lady got turned into a painting, and then that was kind of as far, well, not as far as I got, but that was, you know, I haven't gotten anything special or anything else. I imagine I'll probably get the pendant after I go into the first dungeony part, first cavey part.
Yeah, you're still kind of on the, like, you haven't got to the part that I'm most interested in having a conversation about, because mm-hmm. you're still at the first dungeon kind of thing, but after that, when it starts to get a little more complex.
I haven't gone into anything that's dungeony. I went under the graveyard. Oh, I got to talk to Dampy, which I love. I love him. He's my favorite. The old gravekeeper guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like him. Yeah, I like him. I always really enjoyed his character, like, just kind of, like, wandering through the graveyard in Ocarina of Time, and he's kind of the keeper of the spirits, and he doesn't really say much, and he doesn't, you know, like, he's not a really big or intense character. He's just one of those guys that really fills out the Zelda universe. And I always love running into him. And so when I ran into him in the first, like, 5 minutes of the game, I was just like, okay, I am totally on board. Nintendo, you win all the things. Like, thank you. You are restoring my faith in Zelda.
Yeah, I call him Dampy the Crampy Grampy. We go way back, me and him. Back to good old Ocarina of Time.
He was, and just in case you guys are wondering, he is now in Zergling form. It was that quick. And he's been in Zergling form for about 5 minutes. It was your first little tangenty thing. I just went, oh, Zergling, poof.
Yeah. Let's see how many times we can get this guy transformed. All right. I'm excited that you're enjoying it, and I'm excited that you're enjoying your Nintendo games, even though you're kind of completely lost with Animal Crossing.
Oh my god, okay, so Todd, do you play Animal Crossing?
Yes, I think my city's been condemned.
I was going to say, does it make you want to, like, poke your eyes out? Because I don't understand that game whatsoever. And I think my biggest problem with Animal Crossing is I bought a used version. So there's some random game from some random person named Chrissy. And apparently she did all the tutorials. So I don't get anything. I just get dropped into the town. And I'm just like, now what? And there's no, like, telling me what to do whatsoever. That's why I spent most of last night hitting Ryan with an axe.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that you got a used copy. You need to start over and delete that town.
I don't know how.
All right, I'm going
to
sort that out.
It took me, like, 2 days just to find out where my friend code was so that I could actually add people my 3DS friend list.
So I get confused about that stuff, too. I'm like, I still have to add Ryan as a friend, I believe. So.
Well, oh, yeah, you're sitting in there as just Todd.
He's asked me, like, twice, and I'm like, oh, yeah, here it is. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to add you. Oh.
I got you on PSN, but still friendless when it comes to the 3DS.
Yeah, I just find, I think the biggest problem with the 3DS I've found so far is that there is no, like, hover over to find out what things are. You just have to click them. And, you know, like, I feel like I just keep clicking into all these different things, looking for one specific thing, and I can't find it. And it took me forever to notice a little happy face at the top, and finally I was just like, well, I'm pretty sure I've clicked on this happy face before, but maybe not, so I'll just give it a shot again, because my friend code is nowhere else. And then I click on it, and it's like, friends list, and I'm just like, god damn it, fuck you, Nintendo.
Google.
But I shouldn't have to Google.
I guess you shouldn't have to. Or you could have asked, like, Ryan, where's the thingy? The person who's been had the 3DS and talks about how it's so awesome. It's like, oh, it's here. You should definitely start over in Animal Crossing because you're missing out on mayorship. You get to be the mayor of the town, which allows you to, like, set rules for the town. Like, say you work days and you want shops to be open later, you can do that. Or Todd, for example, probably wants to make sure that the town focuses on making sure it's not a dump. You can do that. Like, I haven't played for months, and usually when that happens, you come in and there's cockroaches everywhere, garbage on the floor, weeds galore. I went in, couple of mushrooms, couple of little weird bush things. I pulled them out. Pristine now. I am ready for the Christmas event. By the way, I'm really looking forward to
We're supposed to pull up the weeds?
You're supposed to, yeah. Just, yeah, get them out of there, man. Just...
Oh, I didn't know weeds were bad. I thought it was like extra foliage.
No.
Well, they are that too, but
no. The things that just look like little, like two little blades of grass?
Yeah, those are weeds. You got to pull them up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to make sure your town is properly clipped. I mean, this is the year 2013. It's pretty important.
I'm not the mayor. The mayor is like some...
Screw Chrissy's town. Jeez.
Yeah, you got to delete that. Just bulldoze it. It's like, you know, it's like it's an Indian burial ground. Just build right over top of it. It's not like they'll be able to haunt you. I mean, hopefully.
I just literally have no... I looked all over the place trying to find like data management or, you know, something where I could go in and delete this stuff. And yeah. I started a new game, but apparently it wasn't a new game.
After this, I'll walk you through it.
Because I was really confused because my system is brand spanking new. Like it is the brand new released on last Friday Zelda Link Between Worlds version of the 3DS, like it is brand new.
Yeah.
So when I said start new game, I figured, you know, like start new game, everything's going to be fresh. But does it like write to the like cartridge?
Yeah.
Because I'll hold it up. This is probably going to mean I'm quitting without saving if I just pull out the cartridge.
But it doesn't matter. You're going to kill Rossetti anyway.
I'm just going to do it. So. This is what the little cartridge looks like for the 3DS, those of you at home. This is my Animal Crossing cartridge. So does it actually, like, save to this little piece of plastic?
Yes. So, like, back in the day, these games used to come on these, like, plastic carts. And save files would actually be saved onto the cart as opposed to the system. But
yes, and I do remember those days, but those days were a long time ago.
Exactly. And, you know, maybe the next generation of handheld, like a handheld system being on...
there's lights flashing at me now. I don't think it liked me pulling it out and pushing it back in again.
Well, not if you had the game running.
I totally did.
Man,
you'll be fine.
Even liking Nintendo, you hate Nintendo. I'm just going to pull this card out.
How bad could it possibly be?
I think when you digitally download games, it's still like sort of tied to the software. So even then, Nintendo's got things a little backwards where, you know, you might want to delete your game and save your save files. So... Yeah, it is tied to the cart, and that can be a good thing if you want to, say, pass the Animal Crossing cart around and, you know, maybe Joel gets a 3DS and he wants to start a character. I mean, that's what I do with Ashley. I mean, her sisters come over and they're like, I want to play Animal Crossing. It's like, okay, well, I'll take the cart out, put it in my old 3DS and let them go nuts while I'm sitting there playing a better game. you know, so it's handy there, but... you know, it's not gonna last forever. I'm pretty sure Nintendo will probably go with discs down the road or some sort of digital-only device. I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that we're probably going to have a much more in-detail discussion of the new Zelda next week. I also played about 40 minutes of Gone Home, which is probably the creepiest game I've ever played, and I'm not going to go into that this week because we have a ton to talk about. So I'm just going to mention we're probably going to be talking about that next week as well because I probably will have played more. But I was playing in what was probably the tail end of a hurricane because, like, I mean, the winds were so strong, it pushed our barbecue across our balcony, and we have a full size barbecue. And it was just like, oh, hey, barbecue, I like you better over there. So it was like this crazy rains, crazy wind, and I choose to play Gone Home because that was a good idea. So I was just freaked out. I was like walking around like barely, and then, yeah, it was just really, 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 really creepy. So really enjoying it, though. It's really cool. So yeah. You guys should go pick it up. I'm sure it's going to be on sale on the Steam sale this weekend at some point. So check it out. Absolutely. I paid full price for it, and it's worth it at full price. It's probably one of the creepiest experiences so far, not in a jump out scary way. And I think Ryan and I had this discussion a few weeks ago that it's not jump out scary. It's just very, very relatable. Which is scary in and of itself. So,
yeah,
I'm really enjoying it. We're going to talk about it more in depth next week. You guys should all go check it out. Todd, what have you been playing on the PS4?
On the PS4, I've been playing a lot of Resogun, which is awesome. I think that's my favorite thing to play, even though it's a PSN title, a $15 game as opposed to a $60 game.
Ryan, you were talking about that last week, weren't you?
Yeah,
it's free with PlayStation Plus, and if you buy a PlayStation 4, you get 30 days free, so it's pretty much available to all PS4 owners, and it's addictively fun until you get to the, you know, what is described as the experience level, and then you start dying horribly.
Yeah, it gets harder. It really does. It
gets really hard and frustrating, and I want to throw this $60 controller. Well, yeah, and it's not...
No more throwing controllers.
No more. No, not in this generation. It's way too expensive. I think that, I forgot what I was going to say, but it's a lot of fun. But I want to hear Todd describe it. No one wants to hear me talk.
I grew up actually playing like Defender in the actual arcades, and it's the most modern translation of a game like Defender that you could have, down to so many levels. And so to me, it's just in a sense, it's almost like a flashback right to that. So I really, really like playing it, and it's it is frustrating to no end at times. You know, you're like, I need more. Is it Overdrive or whatever? You know, I need to launch the big guns. You know, and I don't have any more.
It's super satisfying in that game because you'll start out and you're just running around shooting like three or four dudes, but near the end of the level, you know, the screen is filled with hundreds of these bad guys, and you have this power, Jocelyn, that you build up over time that allows you to supercharge your gun, and it's basically like a huge Kamehameha from your ship. And it's just, you can literally shoot around like the map, because the map is sort of like cylindrical. Is that a word? It is now.
Yes.
And you just move around it like this, in circles, and that's how you shoot things. It's 2D, but yet 3D, and man, that superpower. And that bomb, you get a bomb that basically just wipes the screen, and it's very points-driven. So, like, if you're a guy who just, or girl, who wants to just get a bunch of points in a video game, like, this is the game to play.
Mm.
And it's currently your go-to game when it comes to the PS4. Besides Netflix, I mean.
That's an easy call for, I mean, especially if you have PSN. And it would be worth buying even if it were a pay title. I mean, that's as good as anything that's out there as far as just being for sheer fun and actual challenge of it. So, so I've been really enjoying playing that. I picked up, I got Knack with the PS4 as I pre-ordered it and the Xbox One together, kind of like around this, or roughly as soon as I could when each was available. And so I had a week jump on the PS4, and Knack is fun. It's not the greatest game. It's not a knockout hit. It's quite impressive visually at times, but I think more, you know, games like Shadowfall and Killzone Shadowfall are better. I think it's a better demonstration of the tech. Which I wish I'd got that. I ended up getting a Call of Duty Ghosts, and I've only played that a little bit,
think of Call of Duty Ghosts? Because I've heard kind of conflicting reports. I mean, there's some people that are kind of just in the normal camp of, oh, it's just another Call of Duty game. I've heard other people being like, oh, it's revolutionary, and other people being like, well, I really prefer Battlefield 4. So, like, where do you fall on Call of Duty Ghosts?
I've played a lot of the Call of Duty series, but not to the level that a lot of my friends have. I mean, I have some friends that they literally, since they've had a 360, for example, or a PS4, all they've ever played is Call of Duty, or some variation thereof. And I usually pick them up when I can find a good price break on them. In fact, like this one I got, because I ordered it through Amazon, they sent me a little email, said, oh, by the way, since you pre-ordered, you buy one game at full price, we'll give you another one for free. And I'm like, oh, okay, I was going to get Assassin's Creed 4 anyway, so what should I get? Let's see. You know, there wasn't a huge selection to pick from. They only had like 7 titles, including one that I already had, obviously. So I'm like, well, you know, I guess, I figure I'll get Call of Duty because, you know what, even if I don't like it, I could probably sell it back for $30.
Yeah,
so,
that game,
you know,
really,
unfortunately, and I,
value.
You know,
Oh, sorry.
And I don't feel that way about it. I mean, I think it's a really good game. But I've played all of them, and I find things to like about all of them. Mm-hmm. But I know I don't nearly have the skills because I don't put the time in that most people that are really hardcore into it would put into. Like, oh, I've prestiged, I've done this, I've gone through this on these settings, I've done all the single player, and then I've done, you know, a year and a half of playing multiplayer on the same maps over and over and over, and I'm like, yeah, I got, there's a new game coming out, I want to try that. So I tend not to stick with games as much as a lot of people might. Yeah. So
I'm curious about Ghosts being a cross-gen title available on the current or the I guess past generation consoles, PS3 and whatnot, and then available on the PS4. Do you find that the graphics are hindered because it's cross-gen, or do you feel like they really, you know, kicked it up a notch with next-gen? Like,
there are some things, and I've noticed this in a lot of games, that there are certain things that are very noticeable on the newer consoles. And mm-hmm. I had a buddy of mine come over who's played, he'd played Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty on other platforms, and he's, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, come over and try these out on the PS4, and you know, just what do you think?" And he's like, you know, it took him a while before he could really notice anything. And I'm like, well, you know, I've heard about this, and, you know, the draw distance is huge, comparatively speaking, and the lighting is noticeably better. And
I totally, totally hate people like you that are like, oh, what do you mean you don't notice that it's slightly bluer than everything else? Or, oh, you didn't see that funny glitchy tree in the background, and then you can't unsee it? You're just like, God damn it! I didn't notice it until right now. Oh,
sorry. As soon as you said that, I'm like, no, I remember. It's like it was 2 years ago to the day, and it's
yeah.
She's like, is there any graphics settings on the Wii? Like, this looks really bad, Ryan. I'm like, no, it looks totally fine. I'm like halfway through, and I'm like, there's no graphics settings. Try the component cables, and it's like, no, not helping.
I bought a whole new cable.
It's still blurry, and I booted up again to finish it off, and I'm like, damn it, she's right. That's not an effect. That's the crappy Wii hardware.
Yep.
But it's so much closer with, you know, from last gen to current gen as far as a lot of things. There's actually a recent article, and I'll get you guys a link for this, that The Verge did, where they actually took seven or eight different games that are available on multiple platforms, newer and not as new, and did a comparison and said, here are some of the things that we noticed that are, you know, is there really a difference on this or that? And yeah, obviously, where it counts in gameplay, there's nothing noticeably different in any of the gameplay, and it's just minor things here and there. And most of the time, you kind of get sucked into it, and you don't even notice anyway. I mean, I could jump back to, you know, I could jump to Call of Duty on Ghosts on a 360 or PS4 right. or whatever, and not really think anything of it. You know, if I was at the same point in the story, so.
I feel like
I don't think it's that big a deal overall, but and I would definitely say these consoles are not must-have console.
Right now, let me just finish that off for him.
Just right now, unless there's a game that you really want to play. Cause
oh my god, he's talking and drinking orange juice.
Yeah, we are so laggy right now. That's all right. It's all good.
I know. I'm looking. I'm like, I don't hear anything.
Hooray, Skype. I was kind of wondering because I started talking and you totally went right over me. And I was just like, that's so unlike Todd. I was like, wait.
Yeah, sorry. It completely cut out. I'm like, okay. Either she got really quiet or I'm talking right over top of her.
All I was going to say is any screenshots I've seen side by side of any of the next gen versus current gen games, it's usually textures and lighting effects. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that can make a big difference, you know, from just almost some of the 360 and PS3 games look almost like they're just flat gray textured guns when you compare them to some of the next gen stuff. But I mean, all of that doesn't really impact mechanics and everything else. So it's all just what your game looks like and what your graphics are able to display. So that's really cool, though. And so Assassin's Creed 4, just quickly, I mean, I know we have to get moving on here, but I really, really want to pick this up.
I think it's good, no matter what console you get it on. It's one of those games that it's to me the ultimate pirate game. I mean, there's no pirate game out there that I've played, I think, ever I like as much as this. And it's, you know, there's so many things to do, and it is a challenge, and just the different facets of gameplay make it really, really a lot of fun. Now, I don't know how it would be replayable, you know, how replayable mm-hmm. it would be down the road, but for just, you know, a story, and you get the fact there's so much to do, so much to find, you can go back and The travel system is really nice. Mm-hmm. Just the sheer mechanics and the controls are, like on the PS4, the controls feel really, really good. I've had some issues with some of the other Assassin's Creed games on, like, 360, for example, in the past, where I'm like, I don't like this. And there's times where any game, anytime a camera zooms completely around and, you know, disorients me, I don't care for that. And and any game that does that, that's always a challenge. But as far as just sheer playability, it's probably the best thing I've played so far.
Nice. I know my favorite pirate game is actually called Pirates. It's Sid Meier's Pirates, and I just love it. I sunk so many hours into that. Actually, probably coming up on about, like, maybe 8 years ago now. And, I mean, I still have it for PC, and I love it. It's so much fun.
That's a good game.
Yeah, it's just so, so good. But it's been a while since I've booted it up, but now I want to go play it. So, but yeah. Maybe Assassin's Creed is, like, my next-gen Sid Meier's Pirates.
I think it's definitely one of the stronger titles, I think, mm-hmm. to come out. I picked up a few games on each system just so I have some, and I have more, actually, on the PS4 now just because... there is some quality differences as far, which again, I'm not a purist when it comes to video and audio. So I'm like, my stereo system is, I got a nice receiver, but I'm using like half of an old bunch of speakers and a subwoofer that doesn't belong with it and all this stuff. So it's just what I could piece together. Right. So, but there, you know, there, I did notice some differences in just the quality of the visuals from the same game on PS4 and, on 360. Some of the 360 titles are kind of, actually only running at 720p or about 900p or so, which if you only have a 720p TV, you would never know. And I watch a lot of TV and stuff at 720p or movies, and it's not noticeable in games. I guess maybe I turn into a snob on the graphics. I'm like, well, I want this to be the highest quality it can run. So if a PC game comes out, I want it to run at the highest resolution it can. And then I start messing with settings until it actually runs smoothly. Yeah. But I'm not definitely not disappointed with anything I play, but you know, Assassin's Creed's been my favorite of the next gen games so far, and believe me, I like Dead Rising 3 a lot on the Xbox. So, you know, that's my go to game when I just want to smash some faces in. But I really want to sit down and get into the story. I'm playing Assassin's Creed 4.
So. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth picking up then.
I think so, and
in one form or another.
That's my game that I'm going to pick up next on the PS4, for sure.
I'm definitely going to give it a look, probably for PC, obviously, because I'm not buying a next-gen right now, but definitely it's my kind of definitely top of the wish list for this holiday season. Which brings me to our current holiday, or at least, well, not Ryan and I's current holiday, but the current holiday going on in the States, which is Thanksgiving weekend. And I just wanted to take a moment to remind everyone to go check out our sponsors, Doghouse Systems. They are having the most incredible Black Friday sales, all of the details of which you can find on their blog, which is at doghousenetwork.com, which actually is where I write a lot of my game reviews, and my editorial articles are all over on doghousenetwork.com. So you should definitely go check that out when you've got some time. But right now, so it started yesterday, goes through till Monday, you can purchase a Doghouse system. There is, I believe, a $30 Slash Loot gift card. I don't have it written in the notes, so don't quote me on all of this. But there's definitely a Slash Loot gift card involved, which I'm pretty sure is $30. Everyone gets to double their RAM. And there's all kinds of individual deals on all of their individual systems. So you guys should go check it out. You do not use the code TheGamersIn. Everyone gets the same deals. So it's just one big, crazy Doghouse Systems Black Friday sale. So if you haven't had a chance to pick it up yet, check out what they've got on offer and see if you can actually take advantage of the sale, because it is incredible. We are talking SSD cards. We are talking, which is actually what my Doghouse runs off of. My operating system is on an SSD and it is so fast. I can reset my computer and it boots back up in about 10 seconds. It's incredible. So I love my Doghouse. If you can make it work, take advantage, because this sale is incredible. Again, it's good through Monday and they are at doghousesystems.com. So we thank them, as always, for supporting us here at The Gamers Inn, which brings us to Quickfire News.
Okay, sales. Sales, 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 sales. Leave it to Black Friday to bring out the best deals across the internet. First off, you've got the Big Daddy Steam, who is running their autumn sale with daily deals, flash sales, and general sales across most of its catalog. Then you have Green Man Gaming, who are running different sales each day while offering coupon codes that bring those offers even lower. And finally, newcomer Humble Bundle Store is having a Thanksgiving sale full of indie goodness. Most of these sales end on December 3rd, so if you're listening in the future, sorry. But if you're listening now, act fast.
The World of Warcraft movie has been delayed. In a not totally unexpected turn of events, the World of Warcraft movie has been delayed from December 18th, 2015, which is also known as the release date of the next Star Wars movie, to March 11th, 2016, otherwise known as We Might Actually Make Nerd Money Day. Am I the only one who would have picked Warcraft over Star Wars? I mean, I like Star Wars. I just don't want to see Star Wars of the Caribbean.
I don't get it.
Because they're owned by Disney. Oh. Star Wars is owned by Disney. Disney made Pirates of the Caribbean, and they made it all goofy and stuff.
But what if it's like Wars the Caribbean?
It's not funny if I have to explain it.
No. Well, no. Now it's not. You took it too far. Twitch removes Playroom. Speaking of taking it too far, Twitch removes Playroom from PS4 streaming. The internet has once again proven we can't have nice things. Playroom is a Kinect-type minigame collection that allows players to interact with game objects as if they were in the living room with you. However, one couple decided to get wasted while streaming, then the man exposed his partner on camera while she was passed out. This isn't funny. Smart move from Twitch and Sony, downright disgusting move from Douche Nugget McGee.
Back to you, Jocelyn. I did not hear this story at all.
It's an awful story.
I know. Who does that? I can't.
Drunk rednecks? I don't know.
Oh my god.
Sorry to our redneck listeners.
You know what is really funny out of all this is I'm picturing the same situation happening with like you and Ashley, and what? I'm pretty sure that she would actually axe murder you. So I'm picturing like super angry Ashley.
First of all, I'm insulted. I have never been able to get Ashley to play a video game. Second of all, I would never do that to her. That would be awful.
I know. I don't know why I pictured you two in the situation. It's just really,
picturing my girlfriend topless. That is not... Beyonce, sorry. Whew, that was awful.
Whoa. Oh, geez, dude. Hole. You are digging a hole.
Keep moving. Let's go.
Oh, man. So, Greg Street is leaving Blizzard. Greg Street, a.k.a. Ghostcrawler, announced this week that he will be leaving Blizzard for another as-yet-unnamed company. Greg was best known for being a member of the dev team that acted more like a community manager, bridging the gap between players and the makers of their favorite game. Greg made Warcraft fans feel like they truly had a voice in dev meetings, and he will be sorely missed. We do, however, wish him the absolute best of luck, as we would anyone we had grown to call a friend.
Mm-hmm. Telltale's next property revealed... according to IGN and a few unnamed sources, Telltale will next be tackling a video game based on Game of Thrones. It's not known whether the game will be based on the book or the TV show, but still it's pretty damn exciting as we may finally get a title worthy of the coming soon tagline, Winter is Coming. And speaking of winter, VGX is just a week away. Maybe that's where we see the announcement. I don't know.
Lego Hobbit is a thing. It has been officially announced, and although we have no release date, we have been told that in addition to the open world environment featured in its predecessor, we will get harvesting and crafting mechanics to add even more depth to an already awesome Lego-style titles. It will cover content featured in the first two movies, meaning that we will likely also see a Lego Hobbit Part 2 in the future. So we just wanted to quickly remind you guys of another awesome Black Friday promotion. This time it is from our friends over at Slash Loot. I don't know if you guys know, but we have some Gamers In t-shirts over on Slash Loot. Ryan is currently modeling the Gamers In t-shirt. There you go. Also, you can get The Angry Chicken. You can get Zombies Ate My Podcast. There is also all kinds of offerings from the Frog Pants podcasting team. There's The Morning Stream, The Final Score, Ladies of Leet. I own a Ladies of Leet shirt, which I love and wear every chance that I can get. So if you want to head over to Slash Loot today, Friday, the 29th, and use the code FRIDAYLOOT, if you buy two or more shirts, you can get 25% off your entire order. So head on over to slashloot.com. That is S-L-A-S-H-L-O-O-T.com. everyone was trying to put the slash, and that won't get you anywhere. So you have to spell out the slash. And so head on over to slashloot.com, use the code, again, FridayLoot, and get 25% off your order of the Gamers Inn and the Angry Chicken and the Zombie Samurai podcast shirts. Mm-hmm. Very cool stuff. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which is why Warcrusher is joining us this week. We are talking all things Xbox One. So we brought Warcrusher on because he is the expert, and by expert, I mean the only one out of the three of us who purchased the system.
I think he's the only one that I know of. Like, now, you know, not that, you know, we had a list to go down. It's like, ugh. Well, I guess we have to have work. No, yeah, that's not true. I don't know anybody else who bought an Xbox One. Jocelyn, do you know anyone personally, like on Twitters and whatnot, that bought one?
I actually do. I do some community management for a local TV show called The Game Code. And the host of The Game Code, Adam, who is known on the interwebs as Nova War from Lag TV, he actually bought an Xbox One. And he was saying he's having a really good experience with it so far. So I've also heard, I think it was someone I follow on Twitter, might have been quoted Nevermore, but I might be wrong. But someone was saying basically that they kind of turned it on, or I guess set it up, and then said like Xbox on, and it worked, and then was like Xbox watch TV, and it worked, and they were like, yay. I was like, really? Doesn't your TV do that normally with the push of a button?
Yeah, but it's like one thing to push a button, but it's another thing to order your system to do something. It's like you're telling it.
I can go on and on about that. You'll hear my thoughts about that.
Oh, so you like your system to do things?
It doesn't like me, I think. I mean, it's
very nice.
I remember back in like the mid 90s trying to get like Dragon, Naturally Speaking, to order my PC around, like which would just translate commands into stuff. And I think Windows 7 has that built in, and Vista did, and you know, there's always been an add-on for that for the PC, but this takes it to a whole new level because there's the, you know, it's pretty much run separately from the main core operating system of the Xbox, so you can say, you know, tell it to turn on. Mine does not like to listen to me, so I end up calling an asshole most of the time, and it still doesn't listen to me.
Hey,
so.
Asshole, watch TV. Okay.
So I'm like trying to get it. I'm like, okay, Xbox, you know, I'm trying to get it to switch a channel or something. That's one nice thing is they integrated it in. Like you basically punch in the info for your audio receiver, your television, your cable box, and it'll say, okay, well, we'll test these out and we'll actually broadcast out like all the infrared or, you know, whatever wireless signals we need to, which most of it's infrared, but it just basically does a burst of infrared that doesn't have to point it at it, bounces it off the room. And, you know, so I can tell it Xbox volume up, and it'll actually turn up the volume of the receiver, or mute it or whatever, you know, simple things like that, which are just more like, oh yeah, hold on, I got a phone call, I better mute it. Stuff like that is, you know, I'm not using it as much in game. Most games have some type of support for it. So you can actually say, you know, like I've got right now in the Xbox, I've got two disc titles, which are Dead Rising 3 and Need for Speed Rivals. And then there's some downloadable stuff like Killer Instinct, which is free. And I haven't quite convinced myself whether I would purchase it or not, or a bundle or something. But almost most of the games have some type of input commands that, plus the core OS does. So you can say, you have it, you know, run like Bing in a window or pull up a game guide or something like that. And a lot of that stuff, like having it search Bing, which nobody uses Bing, but come on, but your Xbox will, right? Your Xbox 360 would, now your Xbox One does. And it can load, you know, call up different apps. The app selection is definitely not as big as, like, 360's probably got 10 times as many apps out there for doing video streaming or watching streams or audio or television. And, you know, more of that, it's kind of like when the iOS, like when the iPad first came out, there weren't a lot of iPad apps, for example. Right. And then over the next few months, things really scaled up. And I think that Xbox One's definitely be like that. But the media capabilities are a lot better than the PS4. I used to watch movies on my PS3 all the time, and I still use it as my main DVD or a Blu-ray player. And that was probably the main reason I got a PS3. I bought a used one. I've still got like the 60 gig original one, the giant one, which means I have no room to put the Xbox anywhere. So I've got the Xbox One on the floor in front of my console, and I'm like, well, I could get rid of the. No, I still use the 360, and now the PS4 fits in there nice. And the Wii U is tiny, so that doesn't take up any space. And so, yeah, it's just sitting on the floor. And I'm always, well, what's that?
You have a Wii U? Stop the presses.
Ryan has found the only other person in North America that owns
Why are we not friends on Wii U? I've been sitting here.
Because you told me and I forgot to add you.
Preaching the Wii U, and I have a friend who has a Wii U who's holding out on me. But we're not here to talk about the Wii U.
We're not.
There's a lot of things you could talk about. I mean, I think the games themselves, like I said, they're not as stunning as you would think. And I really enjoy Need for Speed Rivals. That's car racing where you can be a cop or you can be a racer. And it's made me hate the police.
I hate the popo.
Ryan.
Is that what they call them? The popo? Am I cool now?
I call them the popo. That's what we do in my game.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure.
F the popo. So.
Having both systems and being able to actually sit down with the Xbox One and with the PlayStation 4, have you noticed any kind of do you like the controller on one better than the other? Is the quality different on one versus the other? Like, is there anything, having owned and sat down and played in your own space, anything that would make you pick one over the other?
Not really. I think it just comes down to personal preference and what the games out there are. So if you really... You know, if there's a certain game that you really like, or you know it's coming out in the next 3 or 4 months, or you're like, I just got to play Titanfall when it comes out maybe in March on Xbox, then your Xbox might be your best console. Most of my friends, when I look at my friends list, I don't see anybody playing any Xbox One game except me. So, because most people are like, yeah, I'll hold out, you know. And I didn't get an Xbox 360 till about 3 years after it came out. So I really waited on that. I waited even longer on the PS3. Before I pick one of those up, and that was, you know, I bought them used because I'm like, well, I'm not going to pay full price, and you know, I had friends that dove in early on, and they got Red Ring's Death and all, you know, whatever kind of stuff like that. And
we haven't heard all that much with this console launch. It's been pretty smooth. I mean, there were kind of rumors that maybe the PlayStation was getting a Red Line of Death, but nothing really seemed to come out of that. I mean, there was the disk drive in the Xbox One that was failing every once in a while, but then Xbox said that they would replace them and then threw in free games. I mean, like, anytime there seems to be anything coming up in this console gen launch, I think they're both Microsoft and Sony are doing really fantastic PR jobs in that they're just like, oh my God, what do you mean something's not working? Here's a new one. Fix, free. You know... Please talk about how awesome we are, as opposed to talking about our system failing.
And you'll hear stories, it seems from what I can tell that a lot of those things, there's always the vocal minority. Whereas everyone that their stuff is working, they don't say anything, or they're I'm glad I got one. But most, you know, the people that, you know, obviously I'd feel the same way. I mean, I know people I'm friends with on Twitter that have, you know, they had a bad power supply in their PS4, or they had to get their drive replaced in their Xbox One or whatever, and you know, and they seem to be, and a friend of mine is like, oh yeah, Amazon, like I got both mine through Amazon. He's like, oh yeah, I heard Amazon, like the PS4s, that like over half of them were bad. I'm like, they sold hundreds of thousands through Amazon. I guarantee it wasn't half of them were defective for one another. That's what a few people on some blogs would like you to think, and those people should be heard. And there's, you know, and I like when game companies step up and say, okay, yeah, we realize this is an issue. The biggest thing, which I expected, has been network issues. Like, I couldn't sign into PSN for almost a day after I got my.
I did hear about some of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can't sign in now, right now. So they're having some issues, or maybe it's just on my end, but it's. I can't even get in now. I got asked to reset my password 3 times.
Crappy.
I'm like, well, so maybe someone's using my email and trying something. But overall, I mean, generally it's been pretty smooth. There haven't been too many network issues. Our game titles are downloading. I will say this, though. If you're going to buy a game on a new system, buy it on a disc as opposed to a download. You have to install it anyway. And yeah, you'll have to put the disc in. But you can resell it if you really want. And I realize a lot of games, they take out the multiplayer stuff if you buy a resold game or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is that some of the games, when you look at like Killzone or whatever, like 35 plus gigabyte download for that game. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of data. That's fine on a Blu-ray disc or
That is but huge.
A 15 gig game.
I was in a beta last weekend, which I can't get into details about, but the install on that beta was extremely sizable. Took hours, and I was
confirmed,
just like,
beta is huge.
I know,
NDA right? Like, scrapped. What?
Watching my wording around this, but it took a very long time to actually participate in said test. And you know, like, I just as much as I appreciate downloadable titles and how awesome it is that, you know, nothing actually has to be created. There's no plastic, there's no waste, you know, all the rest of it. It's just, you know, digital goods through a pipe to my computer. It's fantastic. But as long as, I mean, what Joel and I are struggling with right now is we are going over our bandwidth cap, like, consistently by, I mean, last month it was 80 gigs and they charge us $1 a gig. So all of a sudden our bill is an $80 higher than it was the month before. Like, it's insane. And like, we paid for a better internet package, so they doubled our speed but kept our cap the same. So now we're just hitting our cap in, you know, half a month instead of the full month. So it's an absolutely ridiculous situation. And if downloadable titles are going to remain the way to go, then, I mean, something's definitely got to change, because 30, 35, 40 gig downloads are just not going to fly.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's not even just the bandwidth limitation. There's going to be, in the next couple of years, unless there's some technological improvements on the infrastructure in Canada, the United States, and, you know, even Western Europe, where their internet's generally a lot better than ours in the first place. But just of how they're doing network address translation and people sharing IPs and things like that, there's some shortcuts that ISPs are taking, which make a lot of game downloads oftentimes cause them to fail. And it's going to become more of an issue unless there's some challenges that are met. So obviously right now the big thing is just the download sizes. And, you know, I'll kick stuff on in the middle of the night. I don't have a cap, which I feel lucky that I don't. But I know I'm getting throttled if I download, you know, over so much in a month. They're just not billing me at this point. That'll probably change, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm on a, I think I have a 20 megabit down connection, which in the evenings when everybody's on Netflix and their kids are on their iPads, it's probably, I get like 3 to 5 megabit. So it's, yeah. I don't download anything in the evening if I can help it. I'll wait till I go to bed
kids.
And I'll take off. If it's a patch, you know, okay, a couple hundred meg or whatever, no big deal. But I'm not going to, I mean, I've got dozens of Steam games that I bought that I still haven't even installed because I'm like, that's 16 gig. I'm like, when am I going to find time to put 16 gig on there?
You know? Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So
I know the problems. Oh, I tell you.
Obviously, you have been paying closer attention to the Xbox and available titles and everything else than I have, because I've totally just like zoned out in terms of Xbox news. They had their big announcement. We kind of knew everything we were going to know, and I just haven't paid much attention in the last couple months because I was just like, I'm not going to be buying it anyway. But one thing I was really interested in all of the announcements, and I'm curious to know if either one of you guys have heard anything more about it, is Project Spark. I think, you know, being able to go in and build your own video game is such a cool idea. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard anything else? Do we have any kind of availability date on that? Or have we heard any more about Project Spark lately?
I haven't heard much. I'm sure the beta is, they're aiming for this spring, I believe. And it will be on PC. I don't know if they'll beta it on PC. Yeah, it'll be on PC for sure.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes me so happy, because that was literally the only thing that made me think I should buy an Xbox One, is because I wanted to go in and fool around with Project Spark. If it's available on PC, F that noise. I am not going anywhere near an Xbox One.
Well, I mean, I don't know whether Project Spark, you know, I know that they've announced it for PC, but I don't know if it'll require Kinect for PC.
I would go and buy a Kinect before I would go and buy a full Xbox One.
Yeah, so that, I mean, but that's kind of weird. I mean, you can join the beta right now. It's kind of weird that you would want to buy a Kinect for PC. Come on.
I would rather, because, I mean, really and truly, what I want out of Xbox One right now is Project Spark. So why would I go and spend $400 or $500 on an Xbox One and all the associated accessories, whatever, when I can just go and spend $100 on the Kinect for PC and play the same game?
Oh, it's coming to 360 as well.
Oh, well, then F all that noise. I have one of those.
There you go.
But there's no beta for the 360, so I don't know. It doesn't say, but you know, it's interesting. You know, use a smart glass. It'll definitely be, you know, the definitive version will no doubt be on the Xbox One, but
I'm sure, yeah.
At least you'll get a taste, you know, until you're ready to purchase a next-gen system, if at all. But
I'm sure it would be a very similar experience on PC. And I mean, I might even enjoy it more on PC, having access to a a keyboard and a mouse and everything else, as opposed to trying to do things, select things, place things with a controller. I think even with the smart glass, with the touchscreen, I still feel like it might be easier with a mouse and a keyboard. So in the end, I mean, even though it might be built for Xbox One, PC might be the place to play it, as I believe is true of a lot of titles.
Yeah, I think the PC's got a lot of, I mean, you're going to get a lot more performance no matter what consoles are coming out. So current next gen systems are might hit half of the, you know, possible performance from a video card that you get out of the newer stuff right now. But know, it's like, do you need all that all in one box? And especially like if, you know, when some down the road, like when Steam boxes come out and like I can play all my, you know, PC games if they at least run on Linux on my big screen TV attached to a PC, and you can kind of do that now with Big Picture and stuff like that. But it's definitely, Spark's got a lot of cool features, and it definitely looks like it's going to bring out a lot of creativity people. So regardless of platform, so I think it's going to be cool. No matter what people are producing, the cream's going to rise to the top on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the PC, the reason it's become such a great video game system is that, you know, it owes a lot to Microsoft, obviously, but it also owes a lot to the 360 in the sense that that controller really proved to me that the PC can be, you know, because, you know, before, like, the Xbox 360 controller, you had the Logitech crappy pieces of shit that just didn't work really well. And, you know, I'd have PC elitist friends who were like, oh, well, I can play StarCraft on my PC because I have a keyboard. And I'm like, oh, well, what about, trying to think of a platformer that would have been on PC. Well, like, what about Beyond Good and Evil, you know? It's like, oh, well, I can play that too. It's like, but don't you have to use, like, WASD? And it's like, yeah, it's totally the way you need to play. I'm like, okay there, buddy. You can take your WASD keys and shine them up real good.
shove them up my control stick.
Sure. But, like, that... But when you get that 360 controller, and when I started playing with that, and Steam came out, and you start to realize, like, okay, you know, this is more like a console. This is, you know, I'm all for controlling games with, you know, mouse and keyboard when it makes sense. But, you know, like Batman, the Batman series on the PC, they are the definitive version on the PC. They look great. But try playing that with a keyboard and mouse. You're crazy. You know, I don't care what you say. You're probably a little crazy. I mean, that's why I think a lot of people who are sticking with the PC, like you, Jocelyn, like, you know, don't sound crazy this time around, you know, because it's totally a valid suggestion.
I never sound crazy. Wow. Never.
You were talking about a plushie like 5 minutes ago.
Which has officially morphed from Baneling to Zergling like 4 times, just in case you're curious.
See? But, you know, no, I'm just joking. I'm totally jealous about that transforming plushie. Yeah, but no, like, think about to the 360 and where the PC was at. It's like, you know, that was probably a much harder decision to pass up on those consoles and stick with the PC. You guys just can't remember that far back, can you?
I know, I'm totally paying attention. I just was trying to make sure that my Animal Crossing was not dead. And all that happened was it gave me a blank screen, and it said, you removed the game thing, press the home button, and I did, and then I booted it back up. I haven't gotten far enough to get yelled at by the mole, but I'm sure it'll happen.
See, she's crazy. She gets yelled at by her moles. Come on, people.
I'm not crazy.
I'm looking forward to them giving me shit about, like, I haven't been there in a month or two, you know. And I'm like, yeah, great. I want to go back and play, but the town's critters are going to give me a hard time.
Well, you know what we'll do is we'll get a party together. We'll all go to Todd's village, and we'll just clean up that place. Like that scene in Space Jam. Good. We'll just say spit shine a bunch of times, and we'll clean that basketball court right up so we can
send you free Steam games if you do.
Yeah, nice. There you go.
So, any final thoughts on the Xbox One, Todd?
It's one of those things where, like I said before, it's pretty, you know, for PS4 and Xbox, I love the controllers on both of them. They're both an improvement. The Kinect, even though I'm yelling at it half the time and I'm probably you know, not doing things right. It is very cool to be able to have it in just simple things, changing channels, flipping back and forth to turn off or whatever. Must haves, definitely not. Dead Rising 3 is awesome. So if you want an Xbox game to go for, that's the one to go for. Forza can suck it because I'm not paying $30, $40 for a single car in a game. that could be a whole show.
Wait, there's only one car in the game?
About
there's only one car?
No, there's lots of cars, but they're, you know, you can unlock them through extensive gameplay, which could be 20 plus hours of racing, or you can, you know, buy currency, which a car may run you $10 in currency, or it may run you up to $50 or $60 in currency. They're on sale temporarily, though. So.
Oh my god, that is so ridiculous.
It's one of those things where I almost bought that, yeah. And so I picked up that Need for Speed Rivals. I like that a lot. I like to have at least one racing game on a platform, and I also ordered the Marvel Lego for PS4 because my buddy Cowboy was telling me about that. So I'm looking forward to playing that some, and it got pretty good reviews on the PS4. So it's PC still rock. I love playing games on a PC. For me, it's finding the time to divide up. I can't divide it up equally, so I might play 1 month where I'm playing mostly PC games and another month where I'm playing mostly console, or divide it up. So it's a good time to be a gamer. I'll just say that much.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see all of our archives, you can visit us on the web at gamersandpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Amove Radio, and The Angry Chicken. Todd, is there anything you want to plug before we wrap up the show?
I'm on Twitter at Budify. That's Buddhaphi. It's look at the Gamers End page. There's my name. Buy lots of Slash Loot shirts for the show and support Bughouse Systems. Those guys rock.
Yay. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it every time you can make time to come on the Gamers End.
I appreciate it too. Thanks.
So you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. You can find Ryan at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show over at the Gamers End. The video versions of all of our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. We are also on Facebook and Google+. I'm trying to post there more often.
We're going to set something up. It'll make it
look better. We are trying to set something up. Yeah. So we are working on our social presence in other places. But definitely, for the time being, Twitter is the place to find us. If you have any questions or comments for us, you can email the show at info@gamersandpodcast.com. And before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers End, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Take that, mole. I see Warcrusher. He's wearing a Halo shirt. No Gamers In shirt, which you can get alongside other fantastic Slash Loot t-shirts.
I usually have the mute button on the thing, like at finger ready, because I'm coughing or gagging or doing, you know.
Are you really excited about Zelda?
I am super excited. I won't yell on the show, I promise.